Anger hurts your heart. Laughter helps your diet. And switching careers to nursing with a specialized program. Plus, we'll take a look at cardiac labs. If that's what you're looking for, guess what? You found it. It's The Nursing Show. Well, good day, and welcome to this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, and I'd like to welcome everybody to the program this week. If you haven't already done so, make sure you take some time this week. Head over to nursingshow.com. You'll find links for each of the episodes and show notes that we do on the Nursing Show site right there at the top of the page in the show notes tab. You'll also find links to our recent article posts. We have some articles on different news items. We have tips for nursing students as well over there. And you'll find all of that information, including how to subscribe to the podcast for free using iTunes or the Zune Marketplace and get these shows delivered to your computer automatically as the new shows are posted. All of that information available for you over at nursingshow.com, so make sure you stop in and take a look. If you haven't already done so, you'll definitely want to also sign up for the Nursing Show newsletter. If you want to get the links from the show notes sent directly to your email box, as well as a reminder, hey, the show's out there, you can do that, and it gives you an opportunity to sign up and get that information sent directly to you. So if you have a question about something I discussed, want to follow up on a news item, or share that link with someone else, you can do that quickly and easily because, hey, it's in your email box. You'll find that form right there on the front page of the Nursing Show site as well. If you'd like to contact me directly, you can always reach me by email. nursingshow@gmail.com is our email address. So go ahead and send those emails in. I love hearing from the listeners to the Nursing Show. So get in touch with me. Let me know what you're doing and share some ideas for future episodes. What do you want to hear in a future episode of The Nursing Show? You can send me that information as well as news links and other anything you want to chat about, really. I love hearing from you, and I will respond to your emails. It might take me a couple of days to get back to you, but I respond to every single email I get. So let's get those emails coming in. I love to hear from the listeners. Some of you might be heading out to the NTIAACN Critical Care Nursing Conference in DC coming up next week, if you're listening to this on the weekend of its release. And I will be in Washington, DC, doing some work with Physiocontrol to interview some of their Con Ed experts and get some videos and Con Ed information from these content experts. I'm looking forward to that. But really, what I'm most looking forward to is an opportunity to meet some of the listeners of The Nursing Show. I've already heard from some people via Twitter and Facebook. So if you're going to be there, we're scheduling an informal meetup, tweet up, if you will, over at some location in the DC area coming up on Tuesday, the 18th of May. So if you're around that area on Tuesday, the 18th of May, 2010, and want to follow me on Twitter, when I figure out where we're going to meet up and what we might be able to do when we get there, maybe a local restaurant or a night spot right after the conference closes up for the day, we will get that squared away, and I will put that in the Twitter feed sometime Monday or Tuesday. So if you're not following me on Twitter, twitter.com/podmedic, you might want to start doing that. And I will be looking forward to meeting any of you. If you come by the Physiocontrol booth and you look at the content experts doing their Con Ed presentations and you see a couple of guys there with a camera, one of them is me, and definitely make an opportunity to listen to what the content experts are saying and then come up and say hi to me. I'd love to meet you and hear what you're doing in the nursing field. Time now to jump into this week's news items, and I'm going to lead off with a story I picked up over at MSNBC.com. This is a story that they covered for Reuters about a study that was released recently by Dr. Johan Denele of Tilburg University in the Netherlands, and hopefully I got his name correct, but was looking, this individual was looking at people who already have existing diagnosed heart disease and what types of personalities they have and how those personalities might interact with the outcomes of their cardiovascular disease issues. And not surprisingly, people who bottle up their anger and hold it up inside are much more likely to have a heart attack or die within 5 to 10 years of the study. And you know what? This is not very surprising, I think, to us, at least intuitively, because keeping that anger bottled up inside releases catecholamines, puts additional stress on the heart and the cardiovascular system. And so all of those things can raise your heart rate, increase your blood pressure, and this is not healthy. So what does this mean? What can we do for our patients? Well, this means that maybe we need to start having some form of group therapy or some kind of psych follow-up for our cardiac patients. We already know that patients who have had an MI, recent open heart surgery or cardiac catheterization with some kind of balloon treatment or something like that are much more prone to have depression, I think, because they suddenly realize their mortality in a smack you in the face kind of way. So why don't we really broaden this and look at all of the things psychologically patients can do to improve their health and lifestyle and extend their lives? You know, this is part of that holistic view that nursing brings to the table. And certainly we should be helping patients to talk about their feelings, help them to find the resources they need in and around their community. And it might be utilizing a pastoral counseling service. It might be utilizing something program set up through your local health department. It might be something that you have to put together yourself as that innovative nurse in the community. Whatever the case may be, I think that there is some benefit, certainly, to helping our patients have a better way of dealing with their strong emotions. And this is just one of those things that we can do to help them out. Let's shift gears and go to the other side of the emotional spectrum. What about laughter? Can laughter help you in any way? Well, a researcher at Loma Linda University in Loma Linda, California, has been looking into laughter for some period of time. And Dr. Lee Burke is looking into some of the benefits of laughter. Now, there's been a lot of research that's pointed to the fact that people who enjoy a good laugh are better able to deal with stress, and that laughter can help reduce anxiety and stress levels. It overall has an improvement on heart disease, so maybe we need to show some funny movies to people with bottled up anger from that last article. But what else does laughter do for you? Well, if you have a patient who is experiencing anorexia associated with another condition, perhaps they're undergoing chemotherapy treatments. Perhaps they have something else going on in their life, a depression or something like that, that is causing them to not eat and they're losing weight. And we need to get them to eat and eat healthily and gain some weight. Well, guess what? A good laugh has the same effect on diet as moderate exercise. It encourages you to want to go and eat something. Now, maybe does this mean that if you're overweight, you shouldn't laugh anymore? I don't think that's the case, because there are other great positive benefits to laughter. But certainly for those patients that are not feeling like their appetite is very stimulated and they don't feel like eating anything, giving them the opportunities to laugh and enjoy themselves and get that good, hearty belly laugh that is so healthy in other ways will also help them to increase their appetite a little bit. And so providing some jokes and laughter or maybe a little bit of comedy on the TV prior to dinner time for these individuals is a great way to stimulate them to eat better when they get to the table. Finally, let's close out with a news item that I think a lot of listeners have been requesting recently. I've heard a lot of information from listeners via email talking about what do I think of people changing careers in mid-gear and moving into nursing after they've been doing other things, and are there any benefits or specific programs about that? And, you know, I've been asking about it and looking around, and lo and behold, found this article recently from Tulsa, Oklahoma, where there is a nursing education program that has been designed specifically for those nurses or prospective nurses that are switching careers in midstream. Now, many of you know I was a paramedic before I was a nurse, and a lot of people will say to me, well, yeah, that's not really a career change. You're still in healthcare. You're still dealing with patient care. And, you know, I kind of agree with that. But what if you're an attorney or perhaps a school teacher or in any other career out there? It is a great idea if you're interested in nursing to move in that direction and bring your prior career skills to the table. Whether no matter what your career is, you bring those life experiences, and it, I think, ultimately makes you a better nurse. So there's a program in Oklahoma that is built specifically for people switching to nursing in mid-career. And if you're looking for some ideas on how this is done, and maybe you're a nurse educator listening to the nursing show and you want to better tailor your program or aspects of your program for these people, you might want to check out this article and get in touch with these individuals at St. John Medical Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They are really seem to be focusing on this particular career option for new nurses. And don't forget, you can find links to all of the articles in this past series of news items over at nursingshow.com in the show notes. So don't hesitate to head over there and check it out for yourself. And if you have something to add, go ahead and leave a comment on the show notes page. Time now for this week's tip and trick of the week, and we're going to be talking this week about some of those standard cardiac labs, both the labs we use for diagnosis and also the labs that might be predictive for cardiac risk. We'll be talking specifically about what cardiac labs are used to diagnose or predict specific types of cardiac issues. We'll look at specifically creatinine kinase or CK-CKMB lab studies, troponins, myoglobin, and others, including BNP, CRP, and electrolyte labs. What are some of the uses for cardiac labs, first of all? Well, labs can be taken before, during, or even after cardiac events and can be used to either diagnose or predict what's going on. They can be used to look at a recent MI. We might most often think about that, those labs that are so important in seeing, did this person actually have an MI, or was it an anxiety attack that resolved on its own? What really went on for a minor MI incident where somebody had chest pain, came to the hospital? Usually, or often, if there's no ECG evidence, labs are the way to go. They also might show that there has been prior cardiac problems. So because a lot of these markers remain in the system, in some cases for a couple of weeks, you can see if someone has recently had an MI because of these labs covering these markers, these enzymes in the blood that are released when there's cellular damage to the cardiac muscle. Also, some of these may be predictive. So they may be showing that you have a predetermined risk based on the levels in your blood of certain chemicals, certain enzymes, that you have a risk for future development of cardiovascular disease. And of course, the more sensitive these are, the better able we are to help patients adjust their lifestyles. Of course, we're trying to get people to adjust their lifestyles and become more heart healthy anyway. But sometimes you can hold these labs up and say, hey, you know what? You're heading there. You may not be there yet, but in the near future, you're going to be there. It's time to change now. And that may be some assistance to you to help these people make a shift in the way that they do things. Let's start off with looking at creatinine kinase. I think the CK labs used to be the standard of choice before the use of troponins, and it's still used quite frequently in my experience. And if you've seen something different or something new out there, make sure you get in touch with me and let me know. CK is present in cells of the myocardium, but also in skeletal muscle, brain cells. And so just looking at CK levels in itself is not indicative of an MI or cardiac damage, because of course, if someone has just recently worked out or done a bit of exercise or been working in the yard, that breakdown that happens with skeletal muscle as you're doing physical labor can also release CK, creatinine kinase, into the blood. And so you need to look at something a little more specific, but an elevated CK level in absence of anything else is certainly going to be a little predictive that there may have been something going on with the cardiac muscle until it's proven otherwise. And so you can use this to get you started. This release occurs when there's any kind of cellular damage. There is, however, a variety of the three types of CK. The CKMB is most specific to cardiac damage, and it can be found in other places, but an elevated CKMB level in presence of elevated CK levels will be predictive of a cardiac event about, I think it's said, up to 80 to 90% of the time. And you really are looking not at the elevated CKMB level in and of itself, but are looking at the ratio of CKMB present alongside the elevated CK level, because more CKMB than might normally be expected would be pointing to a myocardial involvement. Levels increase beginning about 4 to 6 hours after the injury. And so, again, if we're looking at somebody that we think is having an ongoing MI, you're going to still go ahead and treat this patient that's experiencing chest pain and respiratory distress with your normal MONA treatment, morphine, oxygen, nitrates, and aspirin. You want to treat them as if they are having an MI, even if there's not ECG evidence to the contrary. And you can look at how the treatments are affecting these patients and try to determine that. These levels will peak at about 18 to 24 hours, and they return to normal in about 36 hours. So, you know, you can see a progression, and it may be too late to really look at treating the cardiac damage that's already occurred, but it certainly will tell you if something was going on. And in light and in combination with some of the other labs we'll discuss, it's important to keep in mind. The troponins. Now, these are really, I think, the most commonly used and discussed troponin levels for cardiac involvement for an MI ongoing. There are two, troponin I and troponin T, and these are more sensitive for predicting an MI than the CKMB. Troponin I and T are only found in myocardial cells, and so if there's damage to cells in the heart, troponin I and T will be released. Levels will rise about 3 to 4 hours after the injury, and they will be predictive at 88 hours. 95% of the time, you can pretty much bank on the fact there's been an MI if the levels are elevated at the 8-hour point. Peak again at about 20 to 24 hours, but they remain in the blood for up to 10 days. So somebody who's not been feeling well for several days, perhaps had an MI days before, finally get convinced to come into the emergency department, and lo and behold, their troponin levels are increased. So they had a cardiac event days ago, and they're feeling the effects ongoing since then. So this is not uncommon. Those of you that work in the emergency department have probably seen this all the time. Normal troponin levels are 0 to 0.4, generally thought to be predictive above 0.5, and this is the troponin I levels. Troponin T, normal range is 0 to 0.1. So again, the levels are usually not present at all, and so any troponins showing up in the system, it doesn't take very much before you start thinking cardiac event. So what about myoglobin? Well, myoglobin is a substance found in all muscle cells, all striated muscle cells, and the advantage of myoglobin, even though it's very broadly found in many muscles around the body, is that it's released very quickly when there's damage. So myoglobin levels can start to be read within an hour of an event occurring. And so, again, you look at their other history. Are they somebody who works out regularly? Have they recently engaged in a lot of physical activity or exercise? These may be indicative that that's why myoglobin levels are elevated, but certainly it gives you a quicker look at a possibility that there's cardiac involvement. Again, because it's striated muscle, it's both cardiac and skeletal muscle, not the smooth muscle, but both cardiac and skeletal muscle. So again, it's very broadly ascertained and not very specifically predictive for cardiac events. But when put together with the whole picture, it can help lead you down a path. It's nonspecific, and the levels are not increasing over time. In other words, if you get there and you've got a patient that just came in and you got elevated myoglobin levels and they haven't suspected ongoing MI, if those levels don't continue to increase over 3 to 4 hours while you're waiting for the troponin levels to increase to the point where you can read them, or the CKMB to get to the point where you can read it effectively. If those levels of myoglobin haven't been increasing over that time frame, generally there's no MI going on. This has been a prior release of myoglobin into the system, and it's not increasing, so that's not showing ongoing damage. Normal levels are less than 55 nanograms per liter. So if you'll, and you all, I'm giving you these numbers, but seriously, you should probably use whatever numbers your facility is using. And most labs come back with the normal ranges right next to the patient's numbers, so you can get an idea of what normal is. And so you should use whatever your facility or instructors are using as normal. Cardiac enzyme ranges, normal ranges, and we're going to look at these. I've already covered some of them, but let's look at them again. The total CK is 38 to 120. CKMB is 0 to 3, and these are the normal ranges. The TNI, again, 0 to 0.14 is normal, and again, it becomes predictive when you get up to 0.5. So you need to look at, there might be a slush range in there between 0.14 and 0.5. TNT, the troponin T, 0 to 0.1. Myoglobin, again, is less than 55. So these are our normal ranges for these cardiac enzymes. And these are the ones that we use to predict that there has been a cardiac event. In other words, diagnostic labs. So what about other labs, the predictive labs? Well, I'm going to go over these very generally, but you should understand that these might be labs that are pulled in for a patient that's reached a certain age, perhaps complained of a certain types of problems, or has been diagnosed with cardiovascular disease or risk for cardiovascular disease. These labs are going to be predictive to help say, hey, things are going in a bad direction. C-reactive protein, the CRP, is one of them. Also, homocysteine and brain natriuretic peptide. Boy, that's a mouthful. BNP. These are all labs that are used to predict if there is elevated damage. The homocysteine, for instance, is seen in inflammatory response. And so if you see an elevated level of this, that ongoing inflammatory response is indicative of people at risk for developing cardiovascular disease, high blood pressure, and things like that. And certainly you would want to monitor that. Also potassium and calcium levels, because these ions are both important in the process of cardiac muscle contraction. If these levels are off, especially potassium, you can start seeing some odd arrhythmias showing up on your EKGs. And if the potassium levels become severe enough in either direction, either hypo or hyperkalemia, you can be looking at patients having issues where they are proceeding into cardiac arrest even. So these arrhythmias can cause in themselves a myocardial infarction or cause damage to the cardiac muscle because they're not effective pumping mechanisms. And then, of course, our HDL and LDL cholesterol, good versus bad. I always remember that the name tells you which one you want to be high. HDL is the good cholesterol. You want the HDL cholesterol to be high. H is high, right? And you want the LDL cholesterol, the bad cholesterol, to be low. L is low. So if you can remember that and keep that in mind, you can try to get an idea of what we want to see in our patients' labs for these predictive labs. And again, these are indicating that there's an increased risk for developing cardiovascular disease. And so these patients might have these labs pulled, and this is going to be something they might ask about, and you can explain that to them. As always, I will provide you some additional resources over in the show notes on some of these cardiac enzyme studies and other information on cardiovascular disease in general. And you should follow up on that information and make sure you understand how these labs work into your nursing practice. And like I said, if you have specific lab values that are used in your area, your region, or your facility as the normal ranges, those are the ones you should use, not the ones I gave you here. I try to pull these, but but sometimes there are slight differences in the normal ranges for a given region just based upon what the lab technicians, the physicians, and the other members of the medical community have determined to be normal, and there's slight differences in what they think normal might be. So keep those things in mind. And again, you'll find all of that in the show notes for this episode over at nursingshow.com. And that's going to wrap up this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I want to remind all of you that you can find a lot more information, including links to everything discussed in this and every other episode, over at nursingshow.com. You'll find links to the show notes right there at the top of the page under the show notes link. You can also look back and check out all of the great articles and other information you'll find available at nursingshow.com. If you want to comment on this episode or any other episode, you can, of course, comment on any article at the Nursing Show site. There's a comments link. You can also send us email in. Our new email address is nursingshow@gmail.com, nursingshow@gmail.com. Catch us by email. Send us in your tips, suggestions, links to news items, and yes, corrections, because we want to make sure we have the best possible information here available for you on the Nursing Show. Don't forget, you can also find me on Twitter and Facebook under the handle PodMedic, and you can also find and become a fan of the Nursing Show fan page. You'll get updates, information, and usually early access to the Nursing Show. When I record it, I post the links up there earlier in the week. That's it for me. I will close out the show with some great PodSafe music. This is a song by a band called The Fire Apes called Hey Kate. If you like what you hear in this song, you can go ahead and check it out. I have a link in the show notes to the band's website, as well as a link to head over to iTunes and check out their songs there. And hey, pick up a copy of the song or one of their other tunes and support these bands. It's just a dollar or so, and it's a great way to show your support. So go ahead and do that. In the meantime, I'll be back again next Friday with another episode of The Nursing Show. Hopefully, I'll see some of you down at the NTI Critical Care Nurses Conference in DC this week. And if not, I'll be back again next week with another episode. And in the meantime, remember to stay safe and stay tuned here to The Nursing Show. Take care. I only meant to make you happy. I never meant to make you cry. And if you leave, I'll leave tomorrow. Still, I'll always wonder why. But oh, I couldn't take anymore. Just two lonely people and no more. Hey, Kate, please wait. Okay, is it all too late? Hey, Kate, please wait. Okay, is it all? With all the thoughts.